Yes, indeed. God's grace still amazes us each day, every morning, throughout the day. It's unceasing. Hope you enjoyed the nice meditative beginning this morning with the quietness of the instruments and then the voices coming in and then knowing how the pitch picks up as you go along and at the end it reinforces that grace which amazes us. Now this morning I want to ask you a question. I'm really serious about this question. How you doing? You know, a lot of times when we ask somebody that, we really don't want them to answer. We really don't want to hear about it. We would just as soon not hear about it because everybody knows you're supposed to say, well, I'm doing fine, I'm okay. But every now and then somebody will stop and actually tell you how they're doing. And you know that's a good thing. Because when someone does that, they need to share something with you. And we need to hear and we need to listen. So, how are you doing this morning? I hope you're doing really, really well. I pray that you are. And if you're doing really, really well, celebrate with us this morning in our worship service. If you're not doing really, really well, celebrate with us this morning in our worship service. May it uplift you. You know, we have all kinds of things that happen to us during the week. Some things good, some things not so good. Sometimes things work out just the way we would like them to. And then other times, it can be a little bit of a struggle. You know, 1 Peter is talking to us a whole lot about struggling, persecution, how we live our life, where we place our faith, how we push forward with strength and conviction. And so this morning, know one thing, God loves you, always has, always will. Now, I want to also ask you a second question this morning. Have you been born again? Have you been born again in the resurrected life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you know that experience? You see, that is the foundation for that call to holy living, which we find in 1 Peter chapter 1. That call to holy living as a result of being born again. And yes, we face life's challenges. It's up and down. But being born again also means we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we also grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And we also come to rely even more so each and every day on the Holy Spirit. You see, our charge that Jesus gave us as he ascended into heaven was to proclaim the good news. And we're doing that. Our charge is also to baptize. These baptismal waters will flow again. And the baptismal waters throughout this nation and throughout this world will flow because we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But then there's a third part, and we don't want to forget about this part. Discipleship. Growing in the faith, maturity, spiritual growth. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. And over 130 years ago, Charles Spurgeon, in one of his last statements to his pastor's college students, he talked so much about the power and the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so for a few minutes, a few moments this morning, please run with me as we look at this idea of the Holy Spirit. And our having been born again, we have received the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit help us engage holy living in the daily struggles and challenges and joys of life. So let me remind you of a couple of things. First, as you read your Bible daily, and we're so thankful we're in this season of Lent right now. We're working through the Gospel of Mark. And if you've been tuning into Facebook, you're finding the passages being put there each day. Jessica set them up so that you can reflect on the life and ministry of Christ as we also focus on Peter's remarks on Sundays from his epistle. But you can meditate upon those scriptures. The Holy Spirit helps us to see those deeper meanings contained in the Word of God. So may we meditate on the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit intercede into our lives. May we rely on the Holy Spirit to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit: faith, goodness, knowledge, love, compassion, patience, self-control. All of those are important as we grow in the faith. May we also realize that the Holy Spirit is our survival guide. The Holy Spirit illuminates the path that we may be on. See, sometimes we feel pretty sure as to where we are. Sometimes we don't know where we are. But we know deep down we need to keep moving forward. So, dear Lord, we're so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which lightens our path that we can move forward. The Holy Spirit also provides us with counsel and with strength. For we need strength to face daily challenges. We found out that you really can't go it alone. But we're so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon put it this way, and he was talking about sermons. But I'm going to rephrase and paraphrase Spurgeon. I want to share with you a quote. You've heard this many times in your life, but you may not have known where it may have come from. And so I'm going to put in trials and suffering, but you'll know where we're going. You've heard this phrase before. We face our daily trials and sufferings as if it all depends upon us. And then we trust in the Spirit of God, knowing that everything depends on Him. That's the key. That's that twist that makes all the difference. So may God bless us as we strive to be more Christ-like each day. And He has blessed us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you born again? Are you born into the Spirit? Now this week we've got a couple of birthdays. On Monday, Phil, make sure John knows that we mentioned him today. He's got that birthday on Monday. And so I remember John quite well, running all through this sanctuary in the fellowship hall, particularly on nights when we had hot dogs. I remember quite well. And so, John, happy birthday. Also, his birthday's on Monday. On Saturday, my youngest daughter, Johanna Tyler, is celebrating a birthday. And so we know that this is going to be an exciting week for her as well. We also have a few prayer concerns and some celebrations that we would like to mention at this point. Please remember Nancy Haynes' family. Nancy Haynes is Shirley Massey's sister. Then last week, she experienced the death of her son, Tripp, in a boating accident. Tripp's 35 years old. Please remember Nancy Haynes and her family, also Shirley Massey,
her family, for this is a difficult time for them to lose someone so young. And so be with them. Lift them up in your prayers. Also glad to hear that Angela Thomas had her surgery this week, and she is in that road to recovery. And we know how roads to recovery can be. And so we pray for strength, and we pray for patience, and for that healing presence that is so important. Also continue to remember the Ronnie Venable family. Ronnie died recently, and so as the family is adjusting to that, please keep them in your prayers. And continue to remember Ray Insko. Now, with some celebrations, Amy Rigsby got some really good news this week. Cancer-free report. That lifts you. You can immediately feel the lifting of that load and that concern. And so, Amy, we celebrate with you and that news. And we're so thankful that you shared it with us so that we can all celebrate together. Also would like to share some good news as well. It looks like there's another little one coming along in September. And so you want to remember Chuck and Danny and Haley Harmstrom, as there will be a new addition to the family, and that addition coming in early fall sometimes, and they're looking for September. So please uplift them, celebrate with them, for this is a great blessing. And so we celebrate together in the joy of that good news. May we join the Lord in prayer. Our Father, help us to realize that as much as we think life is about us, it's really not about us. We are here to serve you and to glorify you in all that we do and to be Christ-like. So, dear Lord, help us to know what our true center is. And it's not ourself, it is you. That is that born-again experience. We're born away from ourself and born into you. So, dear Lord, help us to keep things in focus. Dear Lord, help us to embrace your Holy Spirit. It is a gift which has been given to us. It is a gift of comfort. It is a gift of direction. It is a gift of discernment. Dear Lord, we know that all things are indeed possible through you. Help us to pick up our crosses and to follow you. And also, as we were reading this week, in the first chapter of Mark, we came to that place where Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, and then James and John were called to not just fish, but to fish for people. And they responded to that call without hesitation, immediately. Dear Lord, as you call us, may we respond to you as they did. And as they were involved in the fishing of people, may we do the same as we proclaim the good news and as we disciple. Help us also, dear Lord, to be powerful prayer warriors. Berea Baptist Church is a praying church. I know this. And we have persons that pray over the prayer list daily. I know they do. You see, prayer is something that we can do 24/7, 365 days a year. We live a life in prayer. So, dear Lord, may we never take for granted our prayer life. And dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned,
for healing and for celebrations. We place them before you, knowing that you hear our petitions and you answer them. Dear Lord, help us to be faithful in the answers, in receiving the answers that you provide. And when there may be times where we may feel like there is a time of wait, help us to be patient. Help us to realize that you are there. Often when we're sitting there and we think we're all alone, you are there with us. So, dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned, we pray for healing. We pray for grace. We pray for mercy. And we pray for favor. For you are the good shepherd. And so, dear Lord, we thank you today for the daily blessings that you give us. The favor that you shine upon us as your children, we pray in the name of our crucified and resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for the children this morning, got an interesting little story. A story that I think is an important story, and with your permission, and I'm just going to pretend like I see all of you right here this morning, because I really do. I remember your faces, and I'm looking forward to when we can all gather here again. And we've got a nice big area right here where we can gather and have a good time with our children's story. But with your permission this morning, I want to also, let's let the adults in on this one too, because it's a something that we can all learn about. And so I want you to imagine something. And so let's say for the children here, I want you to imagine a situation where you're coming up to the street. And you might be walking. You might be on your bicycle or tricycle. Or you might have a scooter. And you might be coming really fast, and so you know you got to put on the brakes on that thing. Now, for the adults that are sitting here this morning, think about some of the decisions that you might have to be making this coming week or as you just move forward. Now, let's go back. Here's the road. You're coming up on it with your bicycle, your tricycle, or your scooter. What are three things that you want to do when you get to that road? Now, here's what we know you don't want to do. You don't want to keep going, because if you do, something could happen, couldn't it? And something that might not be good. So there are three things that I want you to think about that you need to do. We all need to do, whether we're making a decision or whether we're coming up to that road. Anybody have any idea what they might be? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of help. Look at this sign right here. Nice little big old circle with red and yellow in it, right? Well, it's asking us to do three things. First, when we come up to that road, let's stop. Then we want to look in what? All directions to make sure something's not coming, right? So we want to first stop. Then we want to look and we want to listen. Because sometimes there might be something in the distance that you can hear. Now, let's take this a step further. What stop, look, and listen really talks about is something known as obedience and trying to obey. And the Bible tells us that it's very important that we obey God. and that we live a life where we are obeying God. And so I want to share with you a scripture from 1 Peter, verses part of verse 14 and part of verse 15. It says this, as obedient children. Now that's kind of hard, isn't it? Obedient children. That means like when our parents ask us to do something, we need to kind of what? Stop, look, and listen. Do we always want to stop, look, and listen? No, we don't. But I'm going to tell you a secret. As adults, sometimes we don't want to stop, look, and listen either. And see, it's important that we listen to our parents. It's also very, very important that we listen to God, that we listen to Jesus, that we listen to the Holy Spirit. Because God often wants us to know some things. He wants us to know that He loves us, that He cares about us, and that it's important that we obey our parents and those who are caring for us. But it's also important how we live. So let me read the rest of this verse. So I'm going to drop down from verse 14 to verse 15. And it says, you also are to be holy in all of your conduct. Well, you're thinking, well, holy in all of my conduct. What does that mean? Well, it's like this. It's important how we act, isn't it? And what we mean by that, we want to be kind to each other. We want to be good to each other. And we want to love each other. And you know, sometimes we kind of want things our way, don't we? Mm-hmm. And we want what we want exactly when we want it. It's kind of like that controller for the video game. You really want it right when you want it. And if you don't have it right when you want it, you might not be saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. You might be hollering and screaming at that point. But here's what we want to remember. Let's be kind to each other. Let's be good to each other. Let's be nice to each other. And let's love each other. And the same thing applies to us as adults, no matter how old we are. As we live that obedient life, that holy life, may we be kind, loving, and good. For Jesus loves us. This we know. The Bible tells us so. You have a great week, and we will see you next week. Have a good one. Full of grace and glory, so full of grace.
1 Peter chapter 1. And if you would like a sermon title, Living Hope, because we're continuing this series, right? Living Hope, prepared, patient, and confident. Prepared, patient, and confident. Now, I'll confess that that actually is my coaching motto. And I've got some other things, coaching motto. But as I prepared for today, it just struck me what Peter is saying to us. He's saying to be prepared, to be patient, and to be confident. And what I plan to do today is simply take us back a little bit to last week. And I want to read through because I want you to see, I want you to hear. And if you want to follow along, obviously we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to go back and I'm going to pick up, not in the very beginning, but verse 3. And I simply want to read the text. And as we go through the day, notice how Peter bookends a lot of phrases. Born again, which reminds us of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, and Jesus says, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. Born again, a new life that God is giving us if we want to receive it. And so today, if you feel at any time during this service or any time during the day or any time during the week, you feel that you need to get your heart right with Jesus and God, then do so. Reach out. Confess your sins. Say, Lord, I'm not ready. That I struggle with patience. And my confidence at times seems a little low. But see, who has promised, he is faithful. He has promised that he will care for us. He is the good shepherd. He is the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. So let's pick it up in verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Paul says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That starts now. But the glory to be revealed is yet to come. In this you rejoice, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. We do suffer, and patience is long suffering, which produces character. And so, that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He has been revealed, but he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe. We have to have that confidence that Jesus is on our team. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy, check this out, that is inexpressible, more than we ever could think or imagine, as Paul says, and filled with glory, obtaining out the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And Peter goes on and he's talking about how it has been revealed to the prophets in the past, and now we have actually experienced this joy that we've been waiting for, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was to come. And picking up in verse 13, I want to read through, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm actually going to focus on verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has come but will come again. Now, this is talking about the second coming. Now, Jesus may come again or he may come and get you. You got to be ready. As obedient children, as Dr. Wortham was reading earlier, as obedient children, our lives are called to be holy. And what does that mean? We are called to be set apart. Be holy as God himself is holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Many of you may say, well, I'm not living in an exile, but we are living in an exile. This is not our home. We are strangers in a foreign land. And praise be to God that Jesus Christ, the one who created the world, emptied himself and came to the world he created to save us. And how did that happen? Well, it wasn't through the old way. It wasn't through the law of sacrificial animals. It wasn't through the silver or gold or the precious metals. We weren't bought. We were ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus. We were ransomed. We all know what ransom means. Ransom payment is to get that child back. There's no money in the world that we could afford to pay for our own salvation. Only through the person and work of Jesus, only by the way of his blood, can we be ransomed. And Peter reminds us of this. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You know, that echoes back to that Passover. That while the Hebrews were being mistreated and oppressed, and the plagues, and that tenth and final plague, the greatest of all, the death of the firstborn, and the blood of the Lamb is on the doorpost, on the frame. Only with the Lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus is that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Are we going to follow him? Obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And chapter 1 is concluded with, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the good news, the gospel. And right here in this first chapter of 1 Peter, it's given us everything we need to know. That by the death, resurrection of Jesus, that we have hope. That we have hope. That we have a living hope. Prepared, patient, and confident. Prepared, patient, and confident. So, baseball season, I'm a coach. I'm a baseball coach. That's what I do. You know, this week I stepped out in faith. That's a different story, but I just want you to know, like, this week was tough for me. I stepped out of a boat. And I have got to not worry about the waves around me. That I have to have my eyes fixed on Jesus. To know that He's preparing a new thing in me. That I have to be patient, yet I have to remain steadfast, not in the confidence of myself, but my confidence rested in Almighty God. And so let's take a look at verse 13, and I want to read several translations of this. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober-minded, set your hope fully upon the grace being brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up your loins of the mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, one thing that I think is somewhat odd is girding up the loins of your mind. What is this girding up the loins of your mind? Well, you got to understand that back in the day, and even in today's world, really, you know, what I should have done is I should have got like one of those old robes or something from a Christmas play, you know, and I could have acted it out. But you think like this long flowy robe is trying to protect you, sunscreen and stuff, and if somebody's going to go to work, what are they going to do? They're going to tuck that robe. Just like Elijah did when he was running from Ahab, right? He tucked his cloak in his belt. And what does that do? That frees us up. It prepares you for work. Now, that may not really work for us today, but I'm thinking like when you like roll up your sleeves, take off your jacket. And maybe more appropriately for today's world, put the phone down. Put the phone down. Unplug. You see, we're called to be sober-minded. Be ready for action. This is not very far from what Jesus is telling us about having our oil supply in our lamps ready. Because when the bridegroom comes and the door is shut, Party's getting started, but for some, the party's over. Because you weren't ready. But have confidence that to be born again, as we hear in that third chapter of John, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world with his precious blood. That is how we are ransomed. Now, I have spent too many moments of my life not sober-minded. And as I read this text today, I'm thinking, like, well, this is not just talking about being intoxicated. But being filled, intoxicated on the Spirit. That your mind is alert and ready and waiting. That you are prepared. See, I didn't prepare for today to come on to campus and see the sign says, if you want to prepare for tomorrow, trust Jesus today. True story. If you want to prepare for tomorrow, trust Jesus today. Prepared, patient, and confident. So the season officially starts every year, President's Day. We don't have school. I always say, well, you know, so we have some sort of workout. So I've been through about a week of practice. Our first game is Saturday, February the 27th. Tomorrow is John's birthday. He turns 25. And I'm blessed to say that my son is on my coaching staff. I'm pretty pumped about that. And the speaker that we have used to project out sound, and we kind of got smart, and we put it in the window when we were meeting outside, and hopefully we can meet again soon. One of the persons who actually bought that speaker, is on my coaching staff also. It's great to see these people come back, especially my own son, right? But let me tell you something about being prepared. I'll call this John's wisdom, okay? John's wisdom. So one day we're on the phone together, and you know, he calls me, or I called him, whatever, you know, we're talking. And just out of the blue, he's like, how do you get a passport? And I was like, passport? What do you need a passport for? Well, actually, his buddy Ian Stafford, who actually was roaming these buildings, this campus, years ago also, Ian is getting married, and he's living in Austria. You know, the hills are alive with the sound of Ian's wedding. But John wants to be at the wedding, so he needs a passport. You know what? I'm thinking to myself, well, how are you going to pay for that? And he says, well, that's not really going to matter until I have a passport. And it took me a while, but I think he's right. Let's say he doesn't get the passport, buys a lottery ticket, and he's a millionaire. He's got all the money he needs to go to Austria, but he doesn't have a passport. He's not ready. Our passport is Jesus. Are we preparing our hearts for a road trip to somewhere that like we can't even really imagine what it's going to be like. Prepared, patient, and confident. Be ready for action. Patience. You see, with baseball, I keep saying, we got to get ready. Early season, all through the season, we're preparing. When the game comes, you don't win the game in the first inning. I've lost more games in the fifth inning than I want to think about. You have to be patient. And I go back to last March, March the 6th of 2020, the last game we played. We're really looking at a great season. The year before, we won a state playoff game. The year before that, we didn't have any juniors and seniors. We didn't win a single game. We were simply tied to a whipping post. We suffered. Long suffering. We didn't make it to the seventh inning but twice. For two innings the entire season, we had the lead. And after that one game, I said, man, you guys are like addicted to ice cream, and you had one dipping dot. And so last year, here we are playing a conference rival, and we're down 4-1. And you know what? I was impatient, and I lost confidence. I'm sitting there thinking that we have to reevaluate all of our goals. I had one pitcher who's flying out to California. I had one who was ineligible because he'd thrown too many pitches the day before. My ace, his pitch count was so high, I didn't think he was going to make it. We handedly won the game. We have to be patient and allow God to work. It takes time to work things out. Whether that's relationships, reconciliation, your understanding, your faith. You know, the funny thing about faith is faith. You got to have faith. Because if there's a guarantee, it's not faith. And what is hope? Hope is simply faith in the future. And see, there's our confidence. Our confidence is in what has already happened and what will happen. God emptied himself for us and for our salvation. It was for our sake that he was crucified. But praise be to God that as we sit here and think about this, can we even say Happy Ash Wednesday? Think about that. That seems to be a little awkward. Ash Wednesday, we're supposed to talk about, we're supposed to start taking things away from us. We're in the season of Lent. We're supposed to be sad and gloomy. Well, let me tell you something. From Fat Tuesday to Good Friday, we live on this side of an empty tomb. We know what the story is. We have the confidence that he's not in the tomb, and why do we seek the living among the dead? We can say Happy Ash Wednesday. Yet live in this time period of preparation. As we move towards Holy Week, where we celebrate Jesus entering Jerusalem for the final time. Yeah, Jesus suffered, without a doubt. We suffer, without a doubt. Don't put your confidence in yourself. Don't put your confidence in the world. Put your confidence in the one who created the world and you, and who died for you, who with his precious blood sprinkled you to make you clean. That's the deal. That's the confidence. That's the confidence that we have. And you know, as I prepared for this, I couldn't help but think about the song Centerfold. Or Centerfold. Whoops. Centerfield. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. You know, I think there's been times in my life where I've just wanted to hide in the dugout. That I wanted to be on the team, but I didn't want to actually get out on the field. But see, listen to this phonetic connection. Center field. Do you realize actually in that song, in the very beginning, it says born again? And then it talks about new grass. And as the psalmist says, we flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and our place is remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. There's our confidence. Born again. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Are you ready to play? Are you ready to enter a field of sinners? A sinner field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do you want to be on the team of Jesus? The winning team. You see, God's grace is greater than all of our sin. We are sinners. And the only way that we can understand someone coming in is to confess our own sins. Being born again, recognizing our need for repentance, recognizing our need for a Savior. You see, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth. Again. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. And may your confidence grow in all the glory in his infinite riches in Jesus. Amen.
Be still and know that you're washing my eyes to see.